101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. Okay, I asked you earlier, you didn't answer. Was this from Michael? Was this the work session?
Yes.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. This is incredible. This was very well laid out.
There have been a lot of questions about the proposed economic development district for downtown.
Right.
Which is only for property that either the city of Shreveport owns or 50 Cent owns. I mean, you've seen the little map. It goes down Texas Street. It's a 50 Cent district, essentially.
Right.
And because it includes Millennium Studios, Stage Works, which he's going to be leasing from the city. And so everybody's like, why is he getting this benefit? What's this only about for him? Well, there's a lot of questions. I mean, do other businesses want to pay higher taxes? Do they want to pass along a higher tax to their customers? I hadn't thought of it that way.
Right.
But I thought, why are we developing? So bond attorney Michael Busada is, he's well known. He knows the inside and outs of this, and he researched it very well.
And he makes it very clear.
He does. He really does. And it's worth us replaying it this morning so you can listen to why the city is considering doing this and what the benefits would be.
A lot of people don't like incentives. I get it. If I didn't have to give away an incentive, I wouldn't do it. But we're competing against every other city and every other state in the country for these economic development projects. And my experience has been the ones that utilize all their tools are the ones that are growing, that are getting those big wins. Really what today we're doing is with an economic development district is about incentivizing the redevelopment of downtown. Now, I want to make sure I want to be clear on this. The prize of all this is the film and the television production. That's really what the crux of this is that Curtis Jackson is talking about doing. That's where the money comes. That's where the big money comes. The big economic development comes from that. And especially when it comes down to in the past, and when we've tried to build the film industry, what we've typically seen is you've got pre-production sometimes will happen in the state. They'll film in the state, and then they do the big value-add stuff, the post-production. That's where the big money jobs are. That's where all the growth is. They ship that back to California or to New York or to Georgia. And so the state has always tried to figure out how can we ensure the post-production, the value-add is done here, and there's a permanent industry. In most cases, when you have these studios that are built, like Millennium Studios, they're essentially just big leasing corporations. We got to go out. We got to find a film that's going to shoot here, and we'll lease you this space while you're shooting your film here. And then when your film's done, we got to go find somebody else. We got to find a new tenant. What's unique about this opportunity is this really gives us the holy grail, because what Mr. Jackson is proposing doing is not going just owning a studio and going out and trying to find a tenant for 6 months at a time or a year at a time. He's producing all of it. He's the creator as well as the producer. And so all of a sudden, you do have a permanent source of production, a permanent source foundation for the industry. And so that's what makes this extremely unique. The reason that this economic development district is being created is because the argument has been made by Mr. Jackson and others that in order to be able to attract and keep our local talent here, you have to have a thriving and safe downtown. You've got to have those quality of life things. And we're seeing that more in economic development across the board. It's kind of the point where you can build just about anywhere. It's what's the quality of life. And so what they have proposed, what Mr. Jackson and his team have proposed, is to purchase a significant amount of property downtown that's vacant or dilapidated, and to put substantial investment into that, around $50 million when it's all said and done. The intent of that is to create more businesses, more foot traffic, more commerce downtown, to make it a place where people want to come, to people want to shoot films, to people want to live these, from California, come here, do post-production, really make it a quality of life issue. There's not, our Red River District, as we've talked about and we've seen, has been mostly empty since it was built. There's a reason that we need to provide an incentive here. It's because otherwise capital is not coming. Capital goes where it's treated best and where it knows that it can multiply. That's why you don't see a fast food store. You don't see a Chick-fil-A inside the middle of a neighborhood. You see them on a main thoroughfare. So there's not the commerce. There's not the footsteps. There's not the customers there now. So Mr. Jackson said, look, I will invest around $50 million of my own money because I want to recreate the downtown to make it a safe, vibrant area for everybody. I want to bring in more customers so that the existing businesses, their revenues grow exponentially. I want to help them, and I want to build new ones. Will you give us an incentive? Will you partake in some of the risk? Because right now, I know it's a big risk because nothing's ever gone down there. It's because it's tough. So the city, by doing this, is offering a success-dependent incentive. They're saying, Mr. Jackson, look, here's the deal. If you do what you say, you spend the $50 million, you do this, you generate, you bring these buildings back to life, and if you create the customers and the foot traffic, and you are successful, only then will we then take the extra money that we collected from your business and utilize that on the back end to help incentivize you to mitigate that risk. If you don't do that, there's no money. You know, one of the things, if you look at the current district right now, this downtown, it has barely generated any money. It's actually got a negative fund balance. Point being is that he has to deliver or else there's nothing for him to have. And so he's got to take that risk. If he goes and spends $20 million, he spent about, he's already bought a bunch of buildings, so he spent, several million dollars. If he goes and spends $20 million and isn't able to make a restaurant successful, he gets nothing. But we get a new building. And so that's the thought process here, is if you believe you can do it, we will incentivize you. But the city doesn't have excess cash right now. I mean, we all know that. We've got potholes. We've got things that we're fixing. I mean, we're working on a whole capital improvement plan across the city. That's where our money's going. But if you will take something that's never generated revenue and turn it into a revenue generator, we'll use that as a way to incentivize you to come. And so that's what this is that we've got in place now. It's an economic development district, different than a TIF. This includes TIF functions, but it's broader than that. It's an economic development district that will bring traffic here. There is another vote down the road. Once, if the district's created, there will be an ask to put an additional 2% economic development levy, sales tax, on everything in the district. That's so that there's money there to pump back into it. So if Mr. Jackson creates it, it generates revenue, that money will be able to go back and help incentivize it. Some people have asked, well, why aren't other businesses in the district? That was honestly done purposefully. The thought process is, look, these existing businesses have already been doing it. We're not going to, we want the existing businesses to get all the benefits of all the new customers without having to pay that additional tax. Because we all know that when there's an event in the Dome, where there's an event in the old Stage Works, and everybody leaves there, and they're ready to go out and grab a drink or grab dinner, they're not going to pull out their cell phones and get on their land maps and say, okay, well, this is Mr. Jackson's building, so let me go here. And this is Mr. So-and-so's. I'm not going there. They're going to go. They're going to go to all of them. And so the idea is it drives up business for everybody. And again, if it doesn't work, the city loses not one red penny.
Interesting. That's good stuff.
He broke it down. I love the way he broke it down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They may take a final vote today. It may have to wait 2 weeks. I'm not certain. And then they have to come back and impose the sales tax. So it's interesting. Will it incentivize other people to come in? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
If somebody's willing to come in and spend $50 million of their own dollars?
Yes.
Let's get behind them.
All I can keep thinking of is Tyler Perry. What if he turns downtown into what Tyler Perry did at that Air Force Base or whatever it is? What if that becomes what our downtown now is? Vibrant with people living down there, grocery stores. Oh, man. Game changer.
Yes.
Big time. It's exciting.
It's different than what I was really hoping the rev would work out, but mm-hmm. I understood the city's position. Look, yep. your rev's not putting up anything.
We're broke. We don't have the money either.
We don't have the 20 million or whatever it was at the time, 19 million.
No,
I don't know.
We sure don't.
But 50 Cent's putting in his own money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's support it.
Help him out.
Coming up, also, Mike Johnson's tomorrow.
Yes.
We've got Mike Johnson. John Fleming will be joining us talking about, he's on the bond commission.
Mm-hmm. He's chair of it, and he'll explain what happens now with the pickleball proposal.
That's later this morning. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I talked to Tim Fletcher a little bit this morning.
Mm-hmm.
LSU dropped. We won by 40 points and we dropped.
Well, you got to move Miami up.
Oh.
I mean, you have to move Miami up. There's no doubt.
Right.
And so they jump LSU and LSU falls to fourth, I think.
Four. Yeah, we're four. And we played Southeastern.
So. I know.
And yeah, we won by 40, but Aaron, it still wasn't that impressive.
Yeah.
When you, I don't know, it just wasn't that impressive. It was a little depressing, quite
Everything's
frankly.
Not clicking. Everything's
no,
not clicking.
Offensively.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The fourth down, and you heard maybe Brian Kelly in the news yesterday, he was glad they got to try those fourth down conversions because they wanted to be ready for that for the SEC, and they converted all three, I think, that they did. So he said, we wanted to try that, we experiment with that, with some of our fourth down plays, and he was happy about that. But the offense, we just need better. We need better.
Well, we need better from the offensive line.
Right, exactly.
Starting off. Mm-hmm. I know it's four new offensive linemen from last year.
Yeah.
But we need to work on some drills or something because
mm-hmm.
it's not clicking.
And we're on the road at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I mean, for Ole Miss, LSU is a big rival game. I mean, right. I don't think it is so much for us, but for Ole Miss, it's second to Mississippi State, I think. I think they do not love LSU at all.
Right.
There's no love. They don't like Alabama either, but, you know, Mississippi State is
Nobody
their arch
rival. Nobody likes Alabama,
right.
though.
But when LSU comes to town, they come out in droves, and they will be screaming and the hottie-totty and all that nonsense,
what does
whatever.
That mean? What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Come on.
I'd bring me the cowbells. I'd rather the Mississippi
no,
State cowbells.
No, I
prefer
the
those.
Cowbells.
I'm all good with the cowbells. I'm good with that. This hottie-totty stuff, I don't like that. And I don't like the Roll Tide, too. First down, Roll Tide. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just shut up. I hope we kill Alabama.
What's the line? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
I got to check.
I don't know.
I got to check.
I hope all we cream them. The Saints got any chance this weekend? Maybe it's their off weekend, so they do.
No.
Even on their off weekend, they don't have a chance.
By weekend, we won't lose. The only weekend we won't lose.
0-3 is not good, dude. Mm.
I asked Fletch about that, too. And I said, is it Kellen Moore? Does he just not have a handle on the team? Or are we just in a rebuild? This is just a... Mm. He says that it's more that.
Yeah.
He says, we don't have anybody.
It's rough.
Kamala
Harris. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we can use her now.
The running back.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. I just went blank. That shows you how much I've been watching this year.
Kamala Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah. Seriously? I can see his name. He dissed Micah in the airport one time.
Did he really?
So I never liked him since.
Okay.
He wouldn't even take a picture.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. So,
it'll come to you as soon as you turn the mic off.
Exactly.
All right,
101.7, here we go. It'll be on the message board. 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm sorry, but can you imagine being in the stadium at Mississippi State?
Oh, yeah.
Would you just hear? Oh, my. No. Different colleges have different traditions. Yeah. I understand. I don't know where the cowbell came from. Like a lot of people go War Eagle for Auburn. What does that even mean? What is it? Well, I know the story.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story from the Civil War.
Right.
About an eagle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're the Auburn Tigers, so people don't understand the eagle. So it's a fascinating story. But unless you're Blue Oyster Cult, no, I don't want cowbell.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Yeah.
Someone texted me that. William Bradford, thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, the Saints player that we both completely forgot.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, we know now.
Right, yeah. A little senior moment.
A little slow.
Good gosh, you get something in your head.
It disappeared. Or cowbell. How funny. What a funny skit that was. Golly.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I'm so excited.
About?
Tonight, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
Back on the air.
Yep. You're going to be up watching?
Absolutely not.
You know,
I'm going to watch as much as I ever watched him.
Which is never. People will be watching just to see what he's going to say.
This is going to be his highest rated show in his life.
Ever.
And then forget it later.
And then he's gone. You got a one night time,
this
Jimmy.
Is it, buddy.
And you better come out and say, I'm done with politics.
That'll never happen.
He better.
He has such TDS.
Look at our Keel Facebook page. People are like, so what? Who cares? Never watching again. Like they ever did.
Right.
I mean, people are not watching. I saw one demo yesterday, the 25 to 54 demo, which is the primo demo.
Right. That's the one with the money, usually females.
High, low. How many people watch Jimmy Kimmel? I told you the number, so guess something crazy.
Yeah. Well, okay, the country, what do we have?
350 million people in the country.
350 million people in the country.
Yeah.
It's a broadcast network.
Nationwide.
You would think 100 million. I mean, you know.
Nah, nobody gets that anymore. But because there's.
Yeah, zillion. That's true. It's so fragmented now.
Yeah. I mean, 10 million would be a mega show.
Okay.
Mega show. They're not mega shows. 260,000 people. That's it.
That's
the 25-54 primo demo.
How does he have a national network program?
How do you keep it on? How do advertisers advertise on that? I don't want my business on that. I'm gonna pay you how much per spot, and it's gonna go out to 250,000 people. Hell to the no.
that's like the population of Shreveport.
Yeah,
nationwide.
That's how many in that
drawing.
Primo. Now he gets a little bit better in the 19 to 49 demo. Which is okay, but not.
But most of your ad agencies are looking at that 25-54 demo.
Yep. That's who they want. That's who's got the money to spend. Right. A 19-year-old doesn't have money to go out and buy a new car every 2 years, every 3 years.
Right.
They don't have disposable income. They're struggling. The 25-54, we're the folks.
They're not buying the $1,000 iPhones.
Look at me saying, I'm in that demo. We're the folks spending the money. Don't laugh so damn loud. Hey,
I saw a comedian one time and he was saying he was watching TV and he said Cadillac had a Led Zeppelin song in their commercial.
Mm.
And he goes, wow, Cadillac's going for a younger crowd. And he said, no, wait a minute. Cadillac's going for me. And he's our age.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
No, wait a minute. Mm. I'm that older demographic.
Oh, my goodness. But we'll see. Tonight, people, I do want to see what he's going to say. What is he going? What do you say? You be Jimmy Kimmel for a minute.
Oh, do
you're
I
coming
have
out
to?
You're coming out for your monologue. I want you to do two Jimmy Kimmels. Do we have time? Yeah. Do two Jimmy Kimmels. Come out and be contritious and you're changing your ways. Do that. Do that one.
do that one.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people are watching. They heard my comments about Charlie Kirk, and it was ill-timed. And I know the family is suffering, and I just want the family to know that we here at the Jimmy Kimmel Show, my staff, we're thinking about you, and I apologize for my insensitive remarks.
Bingo! That's what he needs to do. Now come out and be Jimmy Kimmel how he's going to do it tonight. Here's what he's going to do.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for my 3 days off. My kids had a great time. We went to Disneyland.
Oh, he didn't go to Disney. He didn't go to an ABC property, I promise you. He didn't go to no ABC property.
Yeah.
He went to the beach somewhere. That's what he's going to do. Thanks for the time off. I had fun. Still getting my paycheck. I'm still richer than you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he's going to come out, and he's holier than thou, and I'm better than you.
And now that he's back, if you will,
yeah,
parenthetically back, he's going to feel even more empowered. And if you're listening to the left media, you're listening to the mass, Trump shut him down. The FCC, no, that's not what happened. Even ABC came out and said.
Right.
No, we made the decision. This wasn't the government shutting him down. This is not shutting down free speech.
What will be curious is how many affiliates return. We do know we reached out to KTBS. They are airing him tonight. We don't know if the next star stations are airing him. We don't know that. We'll watch tonight to see, is he back for good on everybody, or is he only back on some ABC affiliates? Ours is locally owned, and they made the decision to air it.
Okay, I just went blank. I couldn't remember Alvin Kamara a moment ago. What's the other affiliate group?
Well, Nextstar is the one that...
Nextstar is the huge one, but there's another one.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And they said they were still going to preempt him unless he came out with an apology.
Right.
To Charlie Kirk and his family, and made a donation to TPUSA.
I saw that.
Turning point.
We will see what he does. I mean,
I don't see him doing either one of those things. I don't see him being contritious at all.
I'm with you on that. I don't think he comes out and apologizes.
No, he won't.
I think he's going to double down, and his career will be over. I'm telling you, if he does that, his career will be over. His show ratings will plummet. He'll have one good night, and then bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, they said he had already written Wednesday's monologue, which doubled down on what he said after Charlie Kirk's murder.
Mm.
So, no, he won't be. He won't be contritious at all.
And that's arrogance.
Yeah,
I wish I could manage these people. And, you know, if you're his handler or his fixer, you're begging him to apologize. You're begging him, come on, dude.
Well, part of the problem is, Aaron, the people around those people are all, oh, you're the greatest. Oh, you're so hilarious. And they listen to these people that are around them inside their bubble.
Yeah.
And that's the only world they live in.
It's ridiculous.
Which is not reality.
So I won't stay up and watch it that late. I'll tape it, and then maybe I'll watch it when I wake up in the morning just so I can know what did he say. You know, was he contritious? Was he not? Of course, it'll be broadcast everywhere tomorrow morning. Everybody will have his monologue. Will be, you know. Who's the guest, though? Do you come on Jimmy Kimmel tonight?
Oh, if
maybe this will be the night he finally has Matt Damon. Maybe Matt Damon shows up tonight.
I can just tell you, I won't be watching.
Okay.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
By the way, it's Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yes.
Which is the other ABC affiliate group that says, no, we're still preempting you.
Mike, you don't know this, but this is a kind of a tough day for me. And I just realized it's kind of a historic day in terms of the grand scheme of things. September 23rd, 2015, 10 years ago, was the day that I lost my mom.
Oh.
And I might get a little emotional today because my father died when I was in my 20s. He died when he was 61 years old. So Mama lived a long life beyond my father and had just a wealth of friends, was active in the church, was going to Angola, still in her 80s, was driving to Angola, helping with the lifers group there. She set up a book area for the children where she got donation. I mean, my mother was one of those women who, no, she didn't like murderers. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, she realized many of those men had no one in their lives anymore. And if they did, they had a child maybe that when they'd get there, they had nothing, just sit at a table and stare at dad. So she got books donated so that the guys could read to their kid. Anyway, my mom was active in so many things and influenced me so greatly. But I only look back, and I know she's with my dad now, and he's banging on that coffee cup, waking her up in the morning, even in heaven, because he used to bring her coffee in bed every morning, because she was she was a late sleeper. So he'd walk to the bedside when he was in town. He'd walk to the bedside, and with the spoon, he'd bang on the cup. So she would know it's time to get up. You got to go to work. And
what an awesome alarm.
Yeah. And he'd give her a kiss and give her her coffee. It would be just like she wanted it. And she would wake up slowly. She was not a jump up, get out of the bed. But love, the full heart full of love for anyone she met. She and I, our only fights we ever had were when we would be sitting down for dinner. You need some more salt? You need salt? You want some more mashed potatoes? Can I get you some gravy? And finally I said, and we didn't say shut up in our house. It was not allowed. I said, Mom, stop. If I want more gravy, I'll get up and go get it. If I want more mashed potatoes, I'll get up and go get it. Stop it.
Right.
I'm a grown woman. That was not who she was.
Right.
She wanted everyone happy. And it finally hit me. Let her do it. Let her ask. Yes. Politely say, no, I'm good, Mom. I'm good, Mom.
Thanks.
So if you have your mom with you still today, let her ask you if you need anything. Let her bother the crap out of you. Let her nag you till her nth degree. And politely answer, no, thank you, Mom. Because there's going to come a day. If I could get my mom to ask me if I need more mashed potatoes one more time.
Yeah.
I would take it.
And even better, let her give you some more gravy.
Yes. Go get me some more gravy, Mom.
Yes.
She would get up. Middle of her dinner. Get up. Go get me more gravy. Right. Go get me more gumbo. Whatever it was. That was who she was. Mm-hmm. Making everybody happy. And six kids that, for the most part, almost all six of us, very successful human beings. I say almost. We have a...
There's always one.
What do you call the one? What do you call the one? Black sheep?
Black sheep.
Everybody has a black sheep. So thank God I'm not it. Anyway, love you, Mom. Miss you. 10 years. I cannot believe it.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. KEEL. By the way, if you missed part of the show, don't forget we upload the podcast to our app and our website.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen on demand. Take us with you wherever you go.
Yeah, shortly after the show wraps after 9 o'clock.
Pretty quickly.
Downloads pretty quick.
They get it posted.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Immediately. Yep. We talked a little bit last hour about the return, if you will, of Jimmy Kimmel. Will he be apologetic at all? The one group now, Nexstar, had pulled the show
mm-hmm.
after his hateful, spiteful comments about Charlie Kirk. As did Sinclair. Good grief! Yeah, Sinclair Broadcast Group, which mm-hmm. also has a bunch of ABC affiliates.
Yep,
and they said they're not going to bring him back unless he apologizes to the Kirk family and makes a donation to TPUSA, which is Turning Point, which is the organization Charlie Kirk co-founded.
Right, right. Here locally, KTBS, I reached out to them yesterday, and they said they are going to air it starting tonight. So if you're in the Shreveport-Bossier area and you get KTBS, you can see it here locally if you're interested in watching it. But a lot of people are not.
And KTBS, a lot of people might not realize, is an anomaly.
You bet.
In television broadcasting in 2025. They are locally owned. They're not part of a broadcast group like Sinclair or Nexstar or Gray Television or these huge corporations that own broadcast stations across the country. It's still owned by the Ray family locally here. Edwin comes in the office every day. Yep. He's up in his office.
Sinclair says they're not airing it starting tonight. I'm not sure if Nexstar has announced their plan for tonight. But again, we don't have a ABC affiliate, you know. So here, that is Nexstar. So
the reason he was pulled was not because Trump or the FCC went after him. That wasn't it. After his comments, well, first of all, his ratings have been plummeting for years.
Yes.
He's lost 75% of his audience. Aaron, if we lost 3 out of 4 people in this market, that
bye
used
bye.
To listen.
Bye-bye.
Do you think? Yeah.
Bye-bye.
This should be a syndicated program.
Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, we have to have listeners. We have to be able to sell revenue. We have to make money. We're in the business to make money. I hate to tell people that, but that's what we are. You know, that's what all media is.
Sure.
We have to make money. You got to pay my salary. I like my Bentley. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
I'm expensive.
It's Aaron's world. We're all just living in it.
You're living okay, too. You do night. You do night.
But it's the bottom line is, look, ABC didn't pull him. Disney didn't pull him off the air from some altruistic, heartfelt gesture
right.
for the Kirk family. The fact is, he's losing money.
Yes.
He's been losing money, like Colbert. They said he was losing $40 to $50 million a year.
Yeah.
And you said Kimmel was down to less than 250,000 people watching?
In the 25 to 54 demo. He's got way more in the 19 to 49. He's got a younger audience. But in the key demo for a lot of moneyed buyers.
The demo that ad agencies look for when placing their Bud Light in their iPhone commercials.
And their McDonald's commercials.
Yep. Right.
They want that demo. He's down to 260,000 viewers.
Wow.
That's the size of Shreveport.
How do you have a national broadcast show? Could you imagine if Johnny Carson had...
Yeah.
Wow. I'm when I hear that figure, I'm blown away.
Right.
But we have it posted on the Keel News Facebook page that he is returning locally. The ABC affiliate, KTBS here, is going to carry his return tonight. A lot of people, the very first sums up my thoughts, and I'll quote this comment, didn't watch him before and won't watch him now.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. Is there one positive on our page?
No. Can't stand him. Won't watch it. I'm boycotting ABC. Who is that?
Yeah.
Who cares? Never watched and never will.
Right.
And that's the thing. I've never called for a boycott as much as I do not like Starbucks. I don't like what they support.
Right.
I'm not giving them money to help support those causes. I've said before, Teresa Hines Carey, the heir to the Hines fortune, married a Hines before she married John Kerry. I'm not going to give her money. I know what she supports and what she believes. So, but do I think it's making a hill of beans difference to them? Of course not.
Yeah.
But just for me personally, you don't see Nike shoes on my feet or
right.
Nike shirts.
Right.
And so that's just a personal decision. It's the same thing with this. I'm not going to call for them to boycott Jimmy Kimmel because I don't like him. I'm not going to say, pull him off the air. He shouldn't be on the air. That's not what we're about.
Right.
What we're about, what we should be more about, is what Charlie Kirk tried to do. Let's talk. You disagree with me? Great. Sit down. Look me in the eye. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why you're wrong.
And I truly do believe that something needs to be done with the Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, who said we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
I did not like that at all.
And they're coming out. Rand Paul, many others are coming out saying he does not need to be doing that. Let's flip the script a minute. Let's roll the clock back 10, 12 years. And let's have an FCC chairman under the Obama administration telling that to Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
Okay, Rush, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. You're going to stop the rhetoric, or we're going to pull the licenses of the stations?
See, no.
We don't need the FCC chairman doing that.
No, I did not like that.
And a lot of Republicans did not like that. And that's not his job. It's not his job to go out and threaten the licenses of broadcasters because we don't like what they say.
Because you don't like their rhetoric.
Let the money follow it, man. Seriously.
And that's what will happen.
Yes.
Look at what's already happened.
You bet.
Kimmel, his contract is up in May.
He's toast.
He's not going to be renewed.
He's toast, man.
And this just illustrated it.
Mm-hmm.
He's his own worst enemy.
Right, right.
But I had an incident where years ago on Cracker Barrel,
mm-hmm.
on KWKH, and somebody was just, they would call in and espouse this hatred, hate, hate, hate. I said, thank you very much. And I hung up, you know, moved on because I wasn't allowed to engage.
Right.
Next week, this guy would call back. I want to invite everybody. Okay, thank you very much. It was hate, hate, hate speech. It was a horrible group. Finally, the third week, I said, dude, you can't keep doing this. This is not your platform to espouse your hatred and your vitriol. What about free speech? I said, free speech is you buying your own radio station.
Yeah.
And you go say whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the owners of this radio station don't have to put up with that.
Yeah.
So nobody's violating Jimmy Kimmel's free speech because his ratings are pitiful.
Just do what we want you to do on television, is entertain us.
Yeah.
Give us a laugh. Make us, you know, think.
Don't call yourself a comedian because you're not.
You're not.
Go on MSNBC if you want to be a political commentator.
It's frustrating. Late night TV has just gone into the crapper.
What happened?
Crapper. It's so bad.
It's
so bad.
It's so bad now, it makes the old Chevy Chase show look like,
yeah.
Hey, where's that?
Exactly. Bring the Arsenio Hall back. I'm down with that. Yeah,
yes.
Let's go. Sorry.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I was looking up. This is going to be an important weekend in college football.
Mm-hmm.
LSU and Ole Miss. Now, we were number 3 going into our Southeastern game.
Yeah.
Won by 40 points, came out, dropped a place. We're number 4.
Well, you move up. You got to move up Miami because they had a big win over Florida. So they trounced
them. Is that a big win?
Well,
you know, and
they've had 3 big wins. I think that they've had really 3 big, huge wins. So
when you look at like we opened our season, I say we, LSU opened their season against Clemson.
Well, Clemson sucks. Have you seen them?
Okay, let me make my point.
You got a point. Yeah, I hang on.
And then Clemson goes on to show, okay, they weren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
We played Florida. We beat Florida. Florida's now lost again.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start looking at college football playoff rankings and you start looking at strength of schedule,
yeah,
this is going to hurt us. This is going to hurt LSU.
Right.
Because our strength of schedule wasn't actually going to be that good.
And we thought Alabama would be, but Alabama's not that good this year either. Right. Ole Miss is a pretty good squad.
Yes.
This is a big game. We need to win this one. I think we need to win it kind of handily.
We're 1.5 point favorites.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And a home team usually gets 3 off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Generally.
Right.
So for us to be 1.5 point favorites, it's really kind of even.
Even. It's a draw. Yeah.
So.
We need to win this. We really do need to win this game. It's a big, I think it's a 2:30 kick.
2:30, yeah. 2:30.
So after an afternoon game, I'm fine with that. I'm not a huge Ole Miss Rebel fan. On my list of teams I don't love, Alabama, of course, is at the top. Ole Miss is in the top 5. Ole Miss is up
really?
There. They're up there in the top 5.
See, I'm pretty ambiguous about Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm not a Southern Cal fan.
No.
But
I don't care.
Yeah, we don't ever play them that much. I don't like anything out in the West. I really don't. But in the SEC, I don't like Ole Miss. They're number 2 behind Alabama. Don't like them. Georgia. Georgia's on there too. But Georgia's got a good squad, so they can back up. You know, when they trash talk, they can back it up. Ole Miss usually can't. So that's my 2 cents.
Anyway, mm-hmm. We're 1.5 point up, so we'll see. John Fleming.
Can we also play Abe again? Abe. Michael Bussada again coming up at 7:40. Let's do that.
Because he really breaks that down.
Talking about the tax incentive for downtown Shreveport. For 50 cent, really.
Michael Bussada, who's the city bond attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up here in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
City bond attorney Michael Bussada really broke down the 50-cent district, if you will, at yesterday's city council work session. He did such a great job. Aaron, you got this
mm-hmm.
audio, and we're going to play that and him explaining why they broke it down this way.
If you have questions about it, he's going to answer all of it.
And what it means.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Yet another reason I'm so glad you're back,
because mm-hmm.
you listen to these. The work session, city council held their work session yesterday. Of course, the city council meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
But do we know if this is on the agenda?
It is on the agenda, yes.
It is on the mm-hmm. agenda for today. Does that mean they'll take a vote today, or would they have to wait 2 weeks?
I'm not sure if a final vote is today or if it has to lay over 2 weeks. Somebody text me on the council. It may have a vote today. Now, I think they have to come back and actually impose the 2% tax. I think this might be just approving the district, and then they got to do another vote for the tax, but I'm not sure. I don't get that far in the weeds. I get in the weeds, not quite that far yet.
Okay, so this is Michael Bussada yesterday addressing the city council, explaining the 50-cent district,
mm-hmm.
if you will, from downtown.
A lot of people don't like incentives. I get it. If I didn't have to give away an incentive, I wouldn't do it. But we're competing against every other city and every other state in the country for these economic development projects. And my experience has been the ones that utilize all their tools are the ones that are growing, that are getting those big wins. Really what today we're doing is with an economic development district is about incentivizing the redevelopment of downtown. Now, I want to make sure everybody, I want to be clear on this. The prize of all this is the film and the television production. That's really what the crux of this is that Curtis Jackson is talking about doing. That's where the money comes. That's where the big money comes. The big economic development comes from that. And especially when it comes down to in the past, and when we've tried to build the film industry, what we've typically seen is you've got pre-production sometimes will happen in the state. They'll film in the state, and then they do the big value add stuff, the post-production. That's where the big money jobs are. That's where all the, you know, growth is. They ship that back to California or New York or to Georgia. And so the state has always tried to figure out how can we ensure the post-production, the value add is done here, and there's a permanent industry. In most cases, when you have these studios that are built like Millennium Studios, they're essentially just big leasing corporations. We got to go out, we got to find a film that's going to shoot here, and we'll lease you this space while you're shooting your film here. And then when your film's done, we got to go find somebody else. We got to find a new tenant. What's unique about this opportunity is this really gives us the holy grail, because what Mr. Jackson is proposing doing is not going just owning a studio and going out and trying to find a tenant for 6 months at a time or a year at a time. He's producing all of it. He's the creator as well as the producer. And so all of a sudden, you do have a permanent source of production, a permanent source foundation for the industry. And so that's what makes this extremely unique. The reason that this economic development district is being created is because the argument has been made by Mr. Jackson and others that in order to be able to attract and keep our local talent here, you have to have a thriving and safe downtown. You've got to have those quality of life things. And we're seeing that more in economic development across the board. It's kind of the point where you can build just about anywhere. It's what's the quality of life. And so what they have proposed, what Mr. Jackson and his team have proposed, is to purchase a significant amount of property downtown that's vacant or dilapidated, and to put substantial investment into that, around $50 million when it's all said and done. The intent of that is to create more businesses, more foot traffic, more commerce downtown, to make it a place where people want to come, to people want to shoot films, to people want to live. These, you know, from California, come here, do post-production, really make it a quality of life issue. There's not, you know, our Red River District, as we've talked about and we've seen, has been mostly empty since it was built. There's a reason that we need to provide an incentive here. It's because otherwise capital's not coming. Capital goes where it's treated best and where it knows that it can multiply. That's why you don't see a fast food store, you don't see a Chick-fil-A inside the middle of a neighborhood. You see them on a main thoroughfare. So there's not the commerce, there's not the footsteps, there's not the customers there now. So Mr. Jackson said, look, I will invest around $50 million of my own money because I want to recreate the downtown to make it a safe, vibrant area for everybody. I want to bring in more customers so that the existing businesses, their revenues grow exponentially. I want to help them, and I want to build new ones. Will you give us an incentive? Will you partake in some of the risk? Because right now I know it's a big risk because nothing's ever gone down there. It's because it's tough. So the city, by doing this, is offering a success-dependent incentive. They're saying, Mr. Jackson, look, here's the deal. If you do what you say, you spend the $50 million, you do this, you generate, you bring these buildings back to life, and if you create the customers and the foot traffic, and you are successful, only then will we then take the extra money that we collected from your business and utilize that on the back end to help incentivize you to mitigate that risk. If you don't do that, there's no money. You know, one of the things, if you look at the current district right now, this downtown, it has barely generated any money. It's actually got a negative fund balance. Point being is that he has to deliver, or else there's nothing for him to have. And so he's got to take that risk. If he goes and spends $20 million, he's already bought a bunch of buildings, so he spent, several million dollars. If he goes and spends $20 million and isn't able to make a restaurant successful, He gets nothing. But we get a new building. And so that's the thought process here, is if you believe you can do it, we will incentivize you. But the city doesn't have excess cash right now. I mean, we all know that. We've got potholes. We've got things that we're fixing. I mean, we're working on a whole capital improvement plan across the city. That's where our money's going. But if you will take something that's never generated revenue and turn it into a revenue generator, we'll use that as a way to incentivize you to come. And so that's what this is. That we've got in place now. It's an economic development district, different than a TIF. A TIF, this includes TIF functions, but it's broader than that. It's an economic development district that will bring traffic here. At another vote down the road, once if the district's created, there will be an ask to put an additional 2% economic development levy, sales tax, on everything in the district. That's so that there's money there to pump back into it. So if Mr. Jackson creates it, it generates revenue, that money will be able to go back and help incentivize it. Some people have asked, well, why aren't other businesses in the district? That was honestly done purposefully. The thought process is, look, these existing businesses have already been doing it. We're not going to, we want the existing businesses to get all the benefits of all the new customers without having to pay that additional tax. Because we all know that when there's an event in the Dome, where there's an event in the old Stageworks, and everybody leaves there, and they're ready to go out and grab a drink or grab dinner, they're not going to pull out their cell phones and get on their land maps and say, okay, well, this is Mr. Jackson's building, so let me go here. And this is Mr. So-and-so's. I'm not going there. They're going to go. They're going to go to all of them. And so the idea is it drives up business for everybody. And again, if it doesn't work, the city loses not one red penny.
That's hard to argue with.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to argue with.
They'll have more discussion on it today during their regular meeting.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7. Oh, by the way, coming up here next hour, John Fleming, who is chairman of the Bond Commission, also state treasurer, going to join us talking about the revenue bonds for the Shreveport Pickle Park, Pickleball Park, 101.7 Pickle Park. That would be interesting in itself, wouldn't it? 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
HR's so online too for you.
Hey, you hired me. So, perpetual 12-year-old. Oh. So this is not a TIF district.
No, it's not.
They're talking about the district created for basically properties that Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has purchased in downtown Shreveport.
Or properties the city owns and are leasing to him.
And you made a great point just a moment ago during the break. None of these properties, as they sit today, generate anything. They don't generate any sales tax.
He has one business in the Red River District, I think he's opened, that may generate, I think it's a daiquiri shop or something, I forget the name of it, that would be included and would generate sales tax. My question would be, if the sales tax from, let's just choose that business.
Okay.
They start charging 2%, and let's say they generate $10,000 a year. I'm pulling a number out of the thin air. The committee that's going to be appointed to run this district, does that money generated from that business have to be put back into that business for improvements to that business, or can it be put back into anything in that district, in that entertainment, that economic district?
Now, it would seem to me you wouldn't limit it to just that business. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
Right, because you're hoping to incentivize others to come to town.
Right.
But let's say there's a next door business to that one. Could you use it to help a new company come in and buy that property?
It should go into a general fund for that district, if you will.
But who decides? Well, does it all go to 50 Cent? To properties he owns? Does it go to properties that also may lie in that district to fix them up, maybe to get a new roof on? I mean, who's going to make those decisions, and what will qualify to use the money if, you know, if there's any significant monies? Most people that are texting me are saying there's not going to be significant monies generated because none of those businesses in that district right now have things you go in and buy.
Right.
And that you would pay sales tax on.
Yet.
But again, 50 Cent is saying, I want to start opening those businesses, and then I do want them to charge that extra tax so that money can be used to invest in the district. So I would assume it would be money that would be go back into the district to invest in properties.
Right.
But does it have to be his properties? Can it be any properties?
Good question. Yeah.
That's the thing. And you heard Michael say, because other businesses are going, why can't we be in this district? Why is this only for 50 Cent?
Because there are existing businesses there and downtown.
Yes.
That were not included in this new economic district.
And he made a great point. He said those other businesses that are already there, they will get the benefit from all of his investments, but they won't have to pass on that 2% charge to their customers. Because they're going to, you know, if they're going to charge an extra 2% on any meals they serve or anything like that, then it's going to cost you more to go to their business. They don't want to pass that on. So it might be a good thing that other businesses aren't included. But again, we need to hear more about how the money is to be spent, what are some things it can be spent on, and how those decisions will be made.
Okay, but if you've got a restaurant and you're charging $6.80 for a burger, are people going to notice if you charge $6.90 now?
I'm not sure. People do typically notice that prices have gone up.
Well, prices go up, of course.
They typically notice that, but you know, we'll see if it's going to be how big of an impact it'll be. I don't think it's a deal breaker for Curtis 50 Cent Jackson if this doesn't pass. But I see this kind of sailing through at the council. And then we got to really find out how the money's going to be spent and how those decisions will be made. And is there criteria for what the money can be spent on? Can it go into 50 Cent's back pocket?
John Fleming going to be joining us coming up after the news, top of the hour, talking about the pickleball park revenue bonds. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. State Treasurer John Fleming joining us, also Chairman of the Bond Commission. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Always glad to have you on with us this morning. Now, City Council has passed 9-3. Caddo Parish Commission, sorry, was talking about the council earlier this morning. Caddo Parish Commission has passed a pickleball park proposal. It now goes to the bond commission, to you and the commission. So what happens next in the process?
Well, that's actually a Caddo Commission process. We haven't been involved in this since 2019. What happened was they came before the bond commission in November 2019, requesting approval of $30 million of borrowing, not from us, but from whatever their borrowing source is, which was approved in 2019. The security was tax revenue bonds based on 6.05 mils tax. And so about $10 million has been used thus far, so there's another $20 million available. And so really that whole process at this point is in the Caddo Commission. We've been out of it since 2019.
Does it have to come back before the bond commission if they're going to issue this new $10 million revenue bond and sell the bonds?
No, it was all approved as a $30 million package back in 2019. Now, if they go above that, if there's something another way they want to finance it, or if it's in various steps, that is to say the initial $10 million and then they want to do more later, then they would have to come back to the bond commission. But But they got a $30 million approval back in 2019, November 2019, and they've only used 10 of the $30 million thus far for projects. And it was for general construction projects. It was not very specific about what they would be. So really, it's all an internal process at this point, the commissioners voting themselves what to do with the remaining $20 million that, again, is supported by the millage, the property taxes that are going to finance.
Whoa. You just said something that people are going to freak out about.
Yeah.
Because we were told that this is not involving property taxes, that this is the revenue bonds are paid for from monies that are generated by whatever property you invest, whatever project you invest in. Am I hearing you right? Is something wrong here?
Again, that could be simply a tax that was already in existence. So that level of detail you're going to have to get from them.
Okay.
All I can tell you is that it is tax revenue that's supporting this. Now, whether there was a new tax levied or whether they... my understanding is, again, this is 2019, so should we infer that there's a new tax coming? There could be, but again, this was a decision made on taxes already levied back in 2019.
For the commission to go out to the public and say that revenue, and you may help me explain this simply as you can, that revenue bond money can only be spent on projects that generate revenue. Is that accurate?
Well, again, I'm not certain about the law on that, but my understanding is that they will be charging a fee, that there will be a use fee.
Right, so, for the
now,
park,
whether
pickleball.
Whether or not that covers... whether or not that covers the entire cost, I don't know. But my understanding is that the pickle park will be charging a fee to users, and perhaps they've scaled that out in some way that they know what that's likely to bring in.
Can you describe for me, again, the difference between general obligation bonds and revenue bonds? That's where I think the confusion may be coming in here.
Well, a general obligation bond would be, for instance, Louisiana floating a bond, and it would be based on the general revenue, the general taxes that are coming into the state. Whereas we have oil and gas taxes, you know, like the revenue that comes in from when you go to the gas pump and pump, then... there are bonds that, you know, are secured by that. So, again, general obligation is generally just money coming in either generally we're talking about the state revenue coming in from taxes.
Could they use these revenue bonds that the Caddo Parish, essentially they have a line of credit for $30 million, they've spent $10 million, they have $20 million left. Could they use that $20 million on fixing roads?
It's very nonspecific, meaning that it's very flexible. So it says, let's see, I'm trying to read it. It says, I'll quote it to you. It's not exceeding 6%, not exceeding 20 years, capital projects, including but not limited to acquiring, constructing, improving, equipping, and furnishing public buildings and facilities. So it doesn't mention anything about roads.
But it says construction projects.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
But it's referring to public buildings and facilities.
Okay.
Now, this facilities include streets and highways. I'm not sure. That again, may be a definition up to the commission itself.
But it doesn't say anything specifically about on projects that generate revenue either, does it?
Not the part I quoted. Now, there may be more. That was a quote that
okay.
was taken off the document, so I don't have anything else in front of me right now.
So what? It's, go ahead, Mike.
You said they were approved for $30 million back in 2019. Is that correct? And they've already spent $10 million on what? What was the $10 million? Do we not know? Or just general funds?
I don't have that information.
Okay, but that's not $10 million for the pickleball park. So that would be another $10 million.
Well, it's it, yes, but here's an update I can tell you we did receive. So we looked at the parish website, and it says there's an ordinance introduced on September 2nd of 2025. It was considered on September 18th to amend the estimated revenues and expenditures for the debt service fund and the capital outlay fund to provide an appropriation of $10 million for the construction of a pickleball park.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So of that $20 million left, it looks like they have earmarked $10 million, 50% of it, for this pickleball park.
Now, how do they get that money? What is the process now for that?
Well, we don't provide the money, the bond commission. All we do is approve it.
They take the credit card you gave them, and they go to whatever lending institution they're going to use and say,
right,
the bond commission gave us this approval. Here's our credit card. Yes. Give us the $10
million. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. So they can move forward on their own without going back before the bond commission.
That is correct. Yeah, they, as long as within that $30 million that was approved in 2019, then unless they want to change something in some way that would be of necessity with the bond commission, they do not need to come back to us.
So they can move forward now.
So they basically have $20 million at this point, mm-hmm, to work with.
Right.
And they said it may not take the full $10 million for the pickleball park.
Right.
So
interesting. Appreciate your perspective on this. I thank you a bunch, Treasurer, sure, Secretary John Fleming.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the activity, of course, is happening with the commission itself, not right, with the bond commission.
Gotcha. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank y'all.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
What Henry say in MASH? Clear as mother's milk.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused now, too. I thought it had to go back before the bond commission. That's why.
Well,
that's why I asked him to join us.
That's why he set the whole interview up, and then he said,
now we know we don't. It's up to the commission now to go to the bank and say, "Give me my money."
Well, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that.
I thought it had to go back to the bond commission for final approval, and then let's move. So now you can move to the design phase. Essentially,
rock and roll.
You've got the line of credit, which you can go to the bank. You can go to a design company, whoever you're going to hire, your architect, whoever, and say, let's get rolling. Here's what we want to build. Let's rock and roll. And then I guess the commission has to approve the final plans and the price tag, whatever it's going to be, and then move along.
So where is the commission now? Are they looking at design plans or companies?
Well, they have the conceptual drawings. You know, I don't know if that's exactly what they want, but that's what the folks that have told them what they need want with the coverings, what direction the courts will lay, you know, what areas they face and all that. So they've done a little bit of work, and I don't know who did that.
See, that's interesting. What direction the courts will lay, even.
Oh, yeah, it matters with the sun.
Right, exactly.
You bet.
And I love that mm-hmm, thought-out planning.
You bet. You can't be, one side can't be facing the sunrise or sunset, so you have to turn them the other way.
Well, in tennis, you swap sides for that very reason.
Right, but still, you still may have a time when the sun is right in your eyes,
yeah,
and that's causes a problem. That's why a lot of the big tournaments, they've now put those what do you call those covers that close and open? They do those.
Retractable?
In case the sun, we're not going to spend that kind of money, but we are putting some covering over some of them.
Retractable roof.
And, you know, I say if the money is there in the $10 million, cover as many of them as you can. Put those little coverings over as many as you can.
Right, right.
And, you know, that would benefit a lot of people. They're still outdoor. They still have covering to keep a little bit of shade. Because it does get hot around here in the
summer.
I've
seen car lots that are actually doing that now. They've built canvas and awnings over the rows of cars to keep the direct sunlight from beating down on them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we shall see. They now have the credit card, and they can go out and spend the money. So that's
now
what
we
it
know they've
like.
Got up to $20 million.
Yep.
Well, I know we've allocated up to 10 for this.
But it sounded like they can spend it on, you know, public buildings too.
Can right, not roads.
Well, he didn't. He said.
He said it was construction projects, buildings and facilities was what Fleming said.
Can you spend it on new air conditioners and buildings that you need new
ACs?
Well,
that's facilities.
In? Yeah.
Right.
So that doesn't generate revenue. So what am I missing? I don't know. I think there's a little more mud in the water today.
Well, now we are glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Clear as day.
News is next. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Okay, real quick, while we have a short segment, puppy update.
Oh, okay.
We, you know, our original dog that we have had now 5 years, I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Sunny, correct?
Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
We got her from the Caddo Animal Shelter. This was during COVID, and we had heard they're going to have to start euthanizing dogs. They were getting too many, and people weren't coming getting dogs, and so we're like, okay, let's go.
Get one. Yeah.
And they had brought two out, and for some reason we chose this one. Now, don't get me wrong, we love her. She's our dog. She is the sweetest thing with us
most of the time. Yeah,
with us
she can be ornery,
but anybody else, just somebody walking a dog on the sidewalk out in front of the house, her hackles go up. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? My poor next door neighbors, they just pull up in their driveway and she loses her mind. But this other dog now, Jada, from the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana, which where my wife works, she goes in and does shifts. These ladies, it's all volunteer, by the way, at Humane Society. No government funding. It's all volunteer, all donations. And God love these ladies for doing this. I want to bring them all home. So we did bring Jada home. Dina says she's just been up there. Her whole life basically has been at the shelter. So she doesn't know how to be a dog. So mine's so aggressive, she doesn't want other dogs in the house.
Oh, no.
So we're trying to now, they say, if you walk them together, each of you have a dog and you walk them together, they get used to one another.
Okay.
In a non-threatening environment.
Right.
And it's not like.
You each have a leash, you can pull them back
absolutely.
If they get. Right. Okay.
So that's the stage we are now.
Did a good walk last night?
We did a great walk last night. Nice long walk.
Okay.
And then came and brought them both into the backyard, still on leashes.
Okay.
So Sonny can see and they can see each other in the backyard. And so we're going to do that a couple more times and then start introducing them more in the house. Right now, we have to keep them separate.
Yeah,
we have our kitchen. I made a half door between our kitchen and our dining room that I can close it off.
Right.
And so we have to just kind of keep them separate, but it's a process.
Yeah.
So far, the walks are going well.
And I remember when you took the puppy.
Right.
Sonny was fine with the puppy.
Eventually. She did.
Knowing, because it was a baby.
A baby.
Yeah.
And like, if I get another Basset Hound, which I'm now ready for, I am ready for another Basset Hound. Okay. I want a female this All time. Right. I've always had males. And if I get a puppy, I think she'll be much, much more accepting.
Okay.
Like our kittens, when we brought our kittens home. Mm. She didn't go after them.
Well, you just got to make sure she's good with Jada now first.
That's our, oh, absolutely.
Got to get that one fixed first.
So, puppy update right now. Things are progressing slowly.
Progress. That's good.
That's it. Mm-hmm. They're progressing. Jimmy Kimmel back on the air tonight. Yay.
Woohoo. Who's watching? Raise your hand if you're watching.
Nobody here. I got a very interesting breakdown I'm going to share with you after the break.
Okay.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
My friend Jeff Luce, who filled in for you last week, sent me some interesting numbers. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Kimmel's ratings have just plummeted. That's why he's in trouble. His ratings, it's not worth the millions the network is spending on the show. Like
yep.
NBC with Colbert. He's mm-hmm. losing $40 to $50 million a year.
Right.
So Jeff said, you mentioned that in the 25-54 breakdown, he's got 260,000 people.
Yep.
According to U.S. Census numbers, there are 347 million people in the U.S. With 260,000, that means 0.075% of the U.S. population
Ooh-wee.
Is watching.
Hmm.
Now, according to census numbers for Shreveport proper, now that's within the city limits, not right. including Bossier and Benton and mm-hmm. Ketchikan and in the surrounding areas. But city measurements are 172,000 people inside the city limits.
Mm-hmm.
So using that 0.75% means 129 people in Shreveport.
Wow. Wow.
We're watching Jimmy Kimmel.
Ooh.
He says it's easier to find somebody that's not watching than is watching.
Holy
man, that
cow.
Should be in a math book.
Yeah, really? And now you want more
Very
numbers?
Interesting. Very.
Guess how much money Jimmy Kimmel makes? Play high-low.
Oh,
how
see,
much does he make a year?
I'm so out of touch with that kind of, I don't know, $10 million a year.
$15 to $16 million a year.
Unbelievable.
And
the show's not even making that.
Under 200 people in Shreveport are watching him each night. Now that's the 25 to 54 demo.
Right. 260,000 people across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to be canceled. I mean, there's just no way you keep that on. That's not viable.
It's not feasible.
No.
Exactly.
We
and
do
you're
know.
Paying him $16 million a year?
$16 million a year goes to him.
And he's lost basically over 70% of his audience mm-hmm. over the past few years.
Now, the show is returning. ABC announced yesterday he's returning to the airwaves tonight. And we did a little checking, and the local affiliate, KTBS, is locally owned by the Ray family.
Right.
And they have decided to air the show tonight.
It is not part of the Sinclair Broadcast Group or
Nextstar
Broadcasting. Mm-hmm.
Sinclair has said they are not airing the show.
They're still going to preempt the show.
Don't know yet Nextstar's decision for tonight. But you know what? And I hate to say this, but because of 99.9% of our audience says they'll never watch him. They'd never watched him before, never right. watched. I'm going to watch him tonight. This will be his biggest night ever in his whole career because I want to see what he does. Is he contrite?
Mm-mm.
Is he apologetic?
Mm-mm.
Does he change his tune at all?
Mm-mm.
And I don't think he does.
I don't either. Not at all.
If I was his fixer or his PR person, I tell him, you need to come out and be contrite. And apologize and change your tune. Do you want to keep this gig?
Not going to do it.
He's going to double down.
Even if he does, even if he does at this point, too little, too late, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right. I don't buy it.
I won't either. But I'll watch. And now I'm not going to watch it in real time. It's too late. I'll record it, and then I'll watch it when I get up in the morning and just watch his little monologue and say, but who's the guest? Who wants to be the guest on his first night back?
Oh, if I were in his realm, I would want to, because you know the numbers are going to be probably better than he's ever had just for tonight.
Who's got a movie out now? Matthew McConaughey's promoting the Lost Bus. Go on the show. Go right. on Kimmel tonight, Matthew. Get out there. Say, all right. Everybody will watch you. It's a big show tonight. It's Kimmel's night back. So,
It won't last.
No, it won't last.
It may be a little bump. It's but it'll be a blip.
Absolutely. It's a bump and then into the demise. You're toast.
Yeah.
You're toast.
And it's your own fault. Don't blame anybody else, because you're spewing hatred and venom and lies, quite frankly. Lies.
And Mike, the truth, we're out of time. The truth is, if I want that political talk stuff, I can go. There's a million other places to go for that.
Yeah, stop calling yourself a comedian.
I don't want to go to the late night talk shows and hear your dribble political speech, even if I did agree with you.
Well,
I don't
want to
hear it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So we've got some scattered thunderstorms developing after midnight, low 74, wind south at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 50% tonight. Mm. Maybe that'll cool it down a wee bit.
He says a cold front's coming through, but storms also coming through.
But the good news, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mostly sunny.
Nice.
Sunny on Sunday. 85. Look at that. 85 for a high on Thursday. There's some Revel weather.
Yeah. Revel opens Thursday, right?
Thursday.
Oh, that's exciting. And it's going to run for two weekends. The change this year is it won't run Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. They're not going to be open on those three weekdays. And then it'll be back open next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So two big long weekends. Struggle to find volunteers to work during the weekdays. Crowds are lower, so it is a little bit of a struggle. It's one of our best festivals. It really is. It's awesome.
Looking forward to next weekend, October 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Partly cloudy on Thursday. Friday, mostly sunny.
Nice.
Mostly. So they got some two great weekends. Now, State Fair never gets that lucky.
That's what happens.
State Fair comes in and it rains for a week.
Especially if the Revel gets beautiful weather, then the State Fair can almost always count on a couple of days of deluge.
Yes.
And just washouts, which is sad.
I'm seeing the trucks come in for the State Fair also.
I know.
Have
already?
You noticed?
I saw that yesterday.
The big 18-wheelers are already coming in.
Already getting ready to start setting up.
I love
Man.
It. I love this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
College football, the State Fair, the Revel. Love it.
It's exciting. Big
Can't
time.
Can't wait for cooler weather.
You bet.
So in December, we'll start getting some cooler weather.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Coming up tomorrow, big day tomorrow. In fact, Logan Lewis with the Revel will join us tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, our own Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who's going to be in town for a luncheon tomorrow.
Yes, he is.
He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about free speech. We're going to talk about government shutdown. Big topics.
Political violence.
You bet. Lots of discussions with the Speaker of the House. Our buddy, our kickball player,
Mikey.
Little Mikey.
Yes.
He's gonna. God, we can't call him Little Mikey anymore, can we?
Well, I don't know. Do you think Newt Gingrich's friends still call him Nudie or something? You know, I mean.
I think Mike would be okay with it.
I think so.
Big combo with him tomorrow.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Be sure to download that free Keel app.